Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what soon must take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart. Take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests, to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours, that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Brothers and sisters, in the Roman Empire, what is now Western Turkey was called the province of Asia. So Revelation's seven churches in the province of Asia were not scattered from Japan and China to Thailand, India, and Iraq. These seven churches were clustered in a relatively small area of southwestern Turkey, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea were all within about 100 miles or so of the Aegean Sea, which separates Turkey from Greece. The most famous of these churches, Ephesus, was founded by the Apostle Paul. The rest were established in the second half of the first century. And if you look, there are maps in the back of your Bible showing the location of these seven churches. The author of Revelation, a man named John, was in exile around the year 100 AD on Patmos, a little island just off the southwest coast of Turkey. And there is evidence that John knew these seven churches very well. Probably he had traveled from church to church and had encouraged them and preached the word of the Lord to them. From Christ's letters to each of these churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, we know so much about each of these seven churches. Their weaknesses, their strengths, their cowardly compromises with sin, and on the other hand, their courageous testimony for the gospel. And so even today, in the 21st century, we take warning and encouragement from the Lord's words to these seven churches. Now today, I'd like to introduce you to seven different churches. Not at the western end of the Asian continent, but at the very eastern edge of Asia, 100 degrees of longitude to the east of the seven churches in Revelation. I've asked Chris Van Wyk to insert a map of northeastern Japan into your bulletins. And I hope you all have that, and maybe even just keep it in front of you. And there's a little circle marking the location of each of the churches that I'm going to be referring to so that you can follow along. I know these churches very intimately because they are all congregations of the Reformed Church of Japan, and I helped to establish four of these churches. I preached in five of them, and I felt the love of Christ in all of them. And so I ask you this morning to pray for them. For what Christ said to the Church of Philadelphia is true of the churches of Japan today. He said in chapter 3, verse 8 of Revelation, "See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." And I believe the Lord says that to these seven churches in northeastern Japan. I have to start in the middle of this map at Sendai Church. Excuse me. Sendai is a city of almost 1 million people. It became a center of Christianity when Catholic missionaries came to Japan in the 1500s. Excuse me. But when Christianity was suddenly outlawed by the shogun, the generalissimo of the country, in the year 1614, fierce persecution began all over the country. In places where the proportion of Christians was the highest, persecution was the most fierce. I have been in Sendai and seen in downtown Sendai a monument to missionaries and Japanese believers, including children, who were slowly, slowly lowered in a cage into an icy river and died for their faith. In many places in Japan, Christians were crucified or boiled in oil. But when Christianity was made legal again in 1870, missionaries came back to Sendai. And in 1888, evangelism began that would plant Sendai Reformed Church. Sendai Church is the oldest Reformed church north of Tokyo. You see Tokyo down there, towards the bottom of the map, the big circle. And for many years, Sendai Church was a powerhouse, planting churches all around her. But now, most of her members are old and gray. And many of the young people of the congregation have been lured away by enormous social pressures that promise success in society. And so many of the young people of their congregation have gone to the bigger cities looking for work. I pray that you will remember Sendai Church in your prayers. Keep this map and use it as a stimulus to your prayers. Now, you saw in the video those bullet trains. They're called Shinkansens. If you take the Shinkansen north 1 hour from Sendai, that bullet train that travels at 180 miles an hour, you'll arrive at the city of Morioka. Morioka, you see that. A city of 300,000 people, and it's the capital of a very rich agricultural basin among mountains on all sides of it. And to understand the struggle of this little church in Morioka, you must know that in Japan, as in the United States, there's supposed to be strict separation of church and state. But when local politicians there in Morioka tried to use taxpayers' money to make an offering at a Shinto shrine, that's the shrine of those many, many Japanese gods, well, the pastor and the members of this congregation in Morioka sued the government. They sued them, and they won in the Supreme Court. You might say that it was like that old play by Thornton Wilder, The Mouse That Roared. That little church sued the government, and they won their case that those politicians cannot, should not, must not offer money, public tax money, at a Shinto shrine. Well, they won the case, but they lost the war, because the average citizen of Morioka looks at that church and they hate that church. They look at the Morioka Reformed Church with a jaundiced eye, and the evangelistic efforts of that little congregation have met with an icy reception there in Morioka. Revelation chapter 12 speaks of a dragon that seeks to devour the church, but God protected the church. And God is protecting Morioka Church, but please remember them in your prayers. If you hop on the Shinkansen again, now you know that means a bullet train, right? 180 miles an hour. You go north again. You come to Aomori, a city of 1/4 of a million people, 250,000 people. For nearly 30 years or 40 years, the Christian Reformed Japan Mission has labored hard to establish a church here at the northern tip of Japan's main island, Honshu. This church is in snow country. And as I said in my little essay of Memories of Japan, frigid winds come across the Sea of Japan from Siberia and they dump enormous amounts of snow on this city, so that the pastor and the members of the congregation have to climb up onto the roof of the building of their church and shovel off the snow, lest the building be weakened and maybe collapse. Every year or two in Aomori Church, there's another baptism. And the young people of this congregation, they use their musical gifts in worship. I tell you, I have rarely been as moved in worship as when we sing the Lord's Prayer and other choruses in contemporary Christian music, of course singing it in Japanese, but those young people have the gift of music. But the economy is bleak in Aomori, and members who are added by baptism are balanced off by those who move to the big cities, again, of Sapporo, Sendai, Tokyo, Nagoya, further south, Osaka. They look for work, and they leave Aomori. A number of years ago, Aomori Church lost its pastor because of a severe budget cut at Christian Reformed World Missions. But help came to that little congregation from a surprising direction. That little flock of 15 believers pray for Aomori Church. That help came from Sapporo Church. When you say Sapporo, you have to have a little hitch in your voice. Sapporo. Sapporo Church is on the island of Hokkaido, north of Aomori. 25 years before Ruth and I retired, when we were fresh out of language school, we worked together with a Japanese pastor sent by the General Assembly of the Reformed Church of Japan to establish the first Reformed Church on Japan's northernmost island, Hokkaido. Sapporo is the capital city of Hokkaido. It's a city of about 2 million people. Many's the time I rode the sleeping train from Tokyo to Sapporo, which goes through the world's longest tunnel connecting Aomori and Hokkaido. You wake up the next morning and you're in Sapporo. Sapporo Church is blessed with a number of very wise and mature Christians and a pastor whose gentleness in reaching out evangelistically is wonderfully accompanied by power in preaching the gospel. I have to say that the beauty of Reformed church governance is that a small, struggling church of 12 people, like Aomori, doesn't stand on its alone. But the Northeastern Presbytery, we'd call it a classis, appointed Sapporo's pastor to encourage Aomori Church. And Sapporo Church's members heartily agreed with that challenge. We want to help that little struggling church down there in Aomori. They've begun sending a DVD of Sapporo Church's sermon, down to Aomori each week. They use that technology and they pray for them. And also from time to time, Sapporo's pastor visits Aomori Church. That's the way stronger churches should be towards weaker churches. Pray. Praise God for Aomori Church. Going south now, you see Nagano. Nagano. To get to Nagano Church, you have to take a Shinkansen from Tokyo, traveling about 2 hours northwest through tunnels that go through the mountainous spine of Honshu. Mountains 10,000 feet high. And the Shinkansen burrows under them. This church of Nagano, in Nagano, is the smallest of the seven churches that I'm introducing to you in Northeast Japan. On the average, there are only about 10 or 12 people in that church. Nagano was in the news back in 1998, I think it was, because it was the site of the Winter Olympics, because it's surrounded by snowy mountains, and it is a beautiful situation for a city to be. But more importantly than its beautiful surroundings, Nagano, the city of Nagano, is a city that grew up around a famous Buddhist temple that has been in existence for 1,400 years. It's the first temple in Japan that is said to have miraculously received an image of Buddha, lowered from heaven. That's what they believe. But if you remember from Acts chapter 19, how there was a riot that occurred in Ephesus because Paul preached saying that man-made gods are no gods at all. There in Acts chapter 19, there was a riot that was so tumultuous. The mobs there were furious, shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Little church in Ephesus. They must have trembled in their boots when that riot was going on. But you have from that incident in the book of Acts, you have something of a feeling for the power of entrenched religious opposition. Though in Nagano there are no riots, you can still feel how powerful this feeling among the people of Nagano is, this entrenched religious opposition. So the church in Nagano faces this opposition in its witness for Christ year after year. Imagine. The people all around you believe that a statue of Buddha was lowered 1,400 years ago, and there are temples all over the place in Nagano worshiping Buddha. And so pray for that little church, the smallest church among these seven that I'm introducing to you. Pray for Nagano Church. The sixth church that I'm talking about now is on the very northern edge of Tokyo. You can see that little circle above the big circle of the city of Tokyo, and it's called Higashi Kawaguchi Church, Eastern River Mouth Church. It's one of the stronger of these seven churches, with an average of about 30 members and seekers worshiping on a Sunday. Ruth and I worked with a Japanese pastor here for about 17 years, beginning from scratch. It was just the pastor's family, his two children, and our children and us. We started from scratch. It doesn't take away from the glory of Christ in building his church, though, to say that churches tend to grow more quickly in the large cities of Japan. Because, of course, the people in the large cities aren't connected with farming and agriculture. And so they don't have to fear this god of the harvest, that god of the planting, the Shinto gods that are connected with farming. What I remember most vividly during those 17 years of working to establish a church in Higashikawaguchi was the working together with Reverend Sakurai. Sakurai is a name that means cherry tree by the well. Isn't that a beautiful name for a family name for that pastor? Reverend Sakurai, when he was a college student, was a student radical. He was trying to overthrow the government, and yet he felt a deep emptiness in his heart that he couldn't find satisfaction or comfort by changing the world through revolution. And so the deepest yearnings of his heart were met when he finally came to know Christ. He's a shy man, 10 years younger than myself, but he is a wonderful pastor. Pray that Higashikawaguchi Church will continue to grow there on the edge of Tokyo. The seventh and the last of the churches that I wish to tell you about in Northeast Japan is Choshi Church. You see it there on the Pacific coast east of Tokyo. Choshi is a fishing port city. Fishing ships go all the way to Chile, all the way across the Pacific, and they come back laden with tuna and other fish for the Japanese market. This young church in Choshi was started a few years ago as an evangelistic outreach of a church which our mission founded 40 years ago. Let me repeat that. This church in Choshi wasn't started by the Christian Reformed Japan Mission, but it was started by a church that our mission started 40 years ago. More and more, churches in Japan are rising to the challenge of planting churches themselves. The mother church sends a core group of believers and elders, like putting a grain of sand into an oyster to start a pearl. They buy the land, they build the building for the church, and they give a salary to its pastor. 40 years ago, the Christian Reformed Japan Mission had to pay all those expenses themselves. But increasingly, and joyfully, the Japanese church is rising to the challenge of planting churches themselves. They hear the Lord's words, "I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut." Those are the words of Jesus in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. And because the Christian Reformed Japan Mission works so well with the Reformed Church of Japan for the past 70 or more years, we trust each other. We lean on each other. We respect each other's gifts, and together make the most of the opportunity for this open door for evangelism in Japan. This is the seventh of the first of the churches in Northeast Japan that I want you to remember. pray for this newly established church in Choshi, that fishing port city, that God would bless this seventh church in Northeast Japan. Let's pray. Lord our God, we know that you have said you will build your church, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. You said that you will build it. And even in such difficult, resistant countries, your church is being planted. We think of countries, Muslim countries, where people are killed, even today, for believing in Jesus, where missionaries cannot get a missionary visa. We think of places like China, where there is so much persecution, the government leaning on Christians and leaning on Muslims. We pray, Lord, for freedom, for your church to be planted, and for the gospel to be proclaimed. Thank you for the part that this congregation can have in supporting missionaries. We think of the Spalinks in Japan. We think of the Starkenbergs in Central America. We think of another missionary whose name I've forgotten in Turkey. Oh Lord, you are sovereign. You are powerful. We pray this with thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.